Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hillbilly Nerd Talk. Tonight, we're going to talk about Hank's idea for a stupid law, some bike lanes, Planet of the Apes, what's great about catmen, blackberries in season, ordering pizza from jail.
Not a good idea, apparently.
Evidently not. Kids and religion and the harm it does, and the book 1984. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
I'm Petra.
Are you got a delay over there?
No, I don't. I was waiting on you to say I'm Hank. No. I almost said I'm Hank.
Your medicine is making you crazy.
It is making me crazy. I've had just...
Actually, it's making me crazy. You're right. I normally do say, I'm Hank.
Yeah, and I always say, and I'm Petra. And like, I was just totally waiting. And I was like, are we doing this role reversal thing?
Isn't it amazing how one little thing can throw you off?
Completely.
Like, make throw
Don't
your memory...
Don't fuck right now.
Tell everybody what you are going through there with your...
intestinal annihilation right now.
Atomic bombs in your colon.
I feel like it. I swear to God. I am taking a round of antibiotics called Pylera for the H. pylori bacteria that have been living in my guts for at least 25 years.
Isn't that not crazy?
That's nuts. That's
25
nuts.
Years.
Yeah.
There's nothing in our human body to kill them.
I guess not. They kind of drill into the walls of your stomach and your intestines, and then they pump out ammonia and it to keep the pH what's best for them. So like even your stomach acid doesn't, you know, kill them off or anything.
How do you get these little suckers?
I don't know, but if you
did you eat them?
I guess I did. I don't know, but
you've been eating dirt. Did you eat dirt as a kid?
Yeah, I did. So, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
I'm not saying it.
Who knows? But I mean,
it could be from anything, I suppose. But
yeah, I don't think they're real clear on where you, and you can get reinfected by them. And some people are just able to live with them and they don't really cause any problems. And some people, they cause a lot of problems. But right now, the antibiotics just suck. Okay. They just are awful. This is antibiotics for stuff in your guts. So it's all of those symptoms amplified. Or side effects.
So you're
all
having
those
to,
side effects amplified.
So you got 2 weeks of this hell.
And I'm almost done.
Almost done. This is like the Harry Potter drinking from the clamshell. What was that? Which movie
Dumbledore,
was that?
They were trying to get the Horcrux, and I think it was the Order of the Phoenix.
He's like, you've got to drink all this, and no matter what I say, force it down me. Right?
Yeah, so we end up every time I'm eating, like, joking about this, because I have to take those pills 3 times a day. They suck. No, 4 times a day.
It makes you sick every time you take them.
Yeah.
But you got to keep getting more of that clamshell juice in you.
Oh, it's awful. I can't wait for this to be like over. Like Tuesday. Tuesday is the last day.
What was that dude's name? Dumbledore?
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
How do you just, you lose your nerd card entirely.
And he was
I revoke it.
He's like, fuck you, Harry Potter. I don't want any more of this shit. You're like, drink it, drink it down, you old fucking bastard.
You don't get to claim that you're Harry Potter and that I'm Dumbledore. You lost your nerd card there.
Well, I can't help it. Well, that's what we're doing. You're forcing this down you one way or another, damn it. We're getting rid of this E. coli crap.
It's not E. coli. E. coli probably wouldn't make me this freaking sick.
You're right. The what is it? H. pylori.
H. pylori.
H. pylori, E. coli. What all the alphabet names for all this crap?
They abbreviate the Escherichia coli or, because usually...
Oh, it's a giant name. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And it's assumed that if you're talking about, you know, a genus and a species, that you're probably generally knowledgeable enough to know what it is.
I came up with a new way to run our society.
Tell me about it.
The stupid law.
We talked a lot this week, so let's figure out what Hank's stupid law is.
The stupid law, like the guy that left his kid in the car and baked it like a pizza roll, baked his kid.
Yeah.
And he's saying, oh, I just accidentally did that, even though he's doing Google searches on
how to
cook
kill
your kid, basically.
Yeah.
But this way, it eliminates any of this, whether he did it on purpose or accident. Under my stupid law.
You're guilty of stupidity.
You're guilty of being stupid. Yes.
Hear, hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Some things, it doesn't matter. Like, okay, I don't care if you did it on purpose or on accident. It doesn't matter. You, under our stupid law, you get 20 years in jail or whatever you get.
Yeah.
Or death in this case. You get death in this case. You could be so stupid you deserve to die in my perfect world. You do something so stupid that you deserve to die.
Well, if you do something so stupid that you cause somebody else's death, I kind of agree. Yeah, that's...
And there could be different levels of stupid, obviously. I mean, you could be, you know, you do something just a little stupid, like, I don't know, run a stop sign or do whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not too big a deal.
Then you get a stupid fine.
But you do something stupid like, I don't know. Who knows what? You operate a crane and knock over a building and kill some people? That's pretty stupid.
That's death stupid.
So.
Yeah.
Let's make some stupid laws.
I like that law. I think that's a good law. I came up with another fix society thing.
I know. Too. What's yours?
I like that one. I think food stamps should be paid for entirely with lottery money. Like, instead of...
That's a great idea.
Lottery money and at any place else, like, just make it go strictly to, like, that should be the only source of funding of food stamps.
Right.
So
no
you
other
get
funding.
To choose whether you put in for this or not.
That's awesome.
You get to make a choice there.
That's like, and that's voluntary. That way, if you support the food stamp system and want to give all these people money, fantastic. Buy lottery tickets.
Yep. And make it fit.
Otherwise, people like us get our taxes decrease significantly.
And I was thinking about this more. When we go to pay our taxes, we should be able to buy tax credits. Say, we don't support the war in the Middle East. Okay. So we buy tax credits for education because we support education. We buy tax credits for space research because we support that. We can buy the tax credits to support what we want to support. And if you're yeehaw patriotic and you support the war in the Middle East and everything, then fine. You buy the tax credits to support that.
I'm with you. We talked about last episode, these pawn shops that are literally pawning food, things like that. You can buy on food stamps. It's disgusting around here.
It really is. It is. And yes.
See, that would be one of those laws. It would be stupid laws. I could prosecute under that.
Well, who would you prosecute?
And your lottery ticket is perfect. Because I've told you before, you know, it's a circular thing.
Yeah.
States want lottery systems because the states pay money to welfare people. Or disability, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then those people turn right around, give a ton of it back.
To the state.
In lottery
tickets. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a circular thing. It's a way for them to get their money back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, support them by just doing that. Make it all circular.
Yes, absolutely.
And voluntary.
Absolutely.
It's a good system.
Absolutely. And it gives the people who are paying taxes some choice in where their funding is going.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I realize there are some basic services that would have to be, you know, off the top, but.
Oh, yeah. In my perfect world. These are good ideas. Yeah. But you know what would happen? Somebody would come along and they would complicate it too much.
Yes. This was something else we talked about this week.
Yes. We have a little in our little town. They talked about putting some bike lanes. Something fairly simple.
Should be real no-brainer.
Should be able to get our city council to... It's not even they're putting bike lanes. We just want to put basically a stenciled thing on the road saying basically... You
share
know,
the
share,
road.
Yeah, share the road. This is also a bike. Like, bikes are, you know, I don't know. There's a little symbol that all says this in one thing.
Well, all right. Keep in mind, if you're listening to this podcast from outside this area, that this is Appalachia. The vast majority of people do not put their fat ass on a bicycle and huff it around the park or something like that. They're riding around in a jacked up pickup truck, and they are exasperated with bicyclists because you're the healthy minority.
This is where we have rolling coal people.
Yes.
They don't exactly like bicyclists.
No. And they need to be reminded that bicycles have a right to be there.
They don't understand.
No,
period,
they don't.
That people who ride a bike, I don't mean a motorcycle either, we're talking pedal bike.
Yeah.
that they're supposed to ride in the road.
Yeah.
They think you're supposed to ride on a sidewalk or totally off in the dirt.
Yeah.
And I really think it's just ignorance that they don't understand. So then they get mad.
Yeah.
They come around you. The first thing they do, they get too close to you. They ride up close to you.
Uh-huh.
And that's bad. I mean, you're on a bike. It's very dangerous.
Yes, it is. It's extremely dangerous. And it's nerve-wracking when you're on the bike pedaling.
Yeah. Then so they ride up real close to you. Then they'll pass you, like, as fast as they can. Like, they'll gun it, like, and get just a little too close to you.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to hit you with a mirror.
Yeah. They give you that extra little fuck you. And Frank, and most of the time, they literally give you a fuck you.
Yeah. They flip you off.
They flip you off as they roll by. Like, geez. Fucking idiots. Yeah. It just drives me crazy because you're the one that's right.
Yeah.
So
they're in the wrong and they're flipping you the bird.
Yeah. So anyway, so our little people who do bike around here, we're going to go to our city council and just ask them to put some, and we're influential enough. You know, I'm not saying we're Donald Trump of our area, but we're the business people in our town and we could get this done.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we can get our.
So you're meeting with the bike club.
I'm meeting with a bike club and local business people who bike, and we're going to, you know, ask the city council to do this.
Yes.
And within this meeting of five or six people, it is so hard to get even these people who are intelligent, college degrees, you know, fairly smart people to understand. The more you complicate things,
the less likely it is to happen.
Yes. They all agree. Like, okay, yeah, maybe we should just ask them for around the park. And you know, you'll agree to that. Like, okay, let's just put these stencils around the park and around those roads around the park.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And
yeah,
that's
that makes
like
a lot.
One step. That's getting one thing
that
you want that's easy to do.
Yeah.
And a city government is likely to approve that.
Right.
They're likely to not find a whole bunch of holes and problems with that. And, oh, my God, it's too expensive. And then just throw it out.
Right. So you get them all to agree, yes, we should simplify. Let's just do this one thing. Right around a park, ask for this stencil. They don't have to add extra lanes. They don't have to do anything. Just a stencil. So, I agree. That's good. Then before you know it, they get in a little discussion. Well, you know, it'd be nice if they had a caution light at the corner of so-and-so. I'm like, oh, my God, did we not just fucking say we're going to keep this simple? What are you talking about? Well, I'm just saying, you know, well, yeah, I guess you're right. And I'd redirect them like, okay, let's just ask for this one thing.
Herd cats.
Yeah. So then, you know, we're at a little dinner thing. That's part of the problem, too. People hang around too long. Like when you have a beer, you talk, and then before you know it, then somebody's like, well, yeah, I remember one time at that one intersection, if, you know, I wonder if we could just get them to add these white stripes at the intersections of each place. Maybe that would be, I'm like, okay, did we not just say we want stencil in one place? You know, and that just kept going back to that, and it just drove me crazy. Finally, I said, you know, if you want to meet again, I said, well, what's the deal here? So we going to do this or not? And when we agreed to meet at this one guy's office on Wednesday to map out places that they want to put this stencil.
Yes.
And even then I told him, I'm like, I'll go to this meeting, but I'm telling you, I will not agree to do this or to go before our city council if you guys do more than four roads, more than four streets.
Yeah.
Like there's four or five of us here, four streets.
Yes.
If you all start doing this again, discount me out.
Yeah.
And they said, well, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And they all agree to it.
But and then they start talking about it again.
Yes, I will guarantee you at this meeting they will have, well, maybe if we rearrange stop signs, maybe if we added a bike lane, maybe if we.
Yeah, and they get started on this, and then they want to take out parking spaces, which that's not going to happen in our city.
That was brought up in a meeting. Well, if we took off some parking spaces in this one place, that'd make things more safe, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, they're not going to go for that.
Yeah.
Will you listen to yourselves? This is why. And by the way, the same club, like, yeah, you know, we've asked for this for at least 10 or 15 years. We've been trying to get them to do it, and they just won't do anything. I'm like, yeah. I can understand why, idiots.
Yeah.
If you guys would just keep it simple, like when you start talking about rerouting traffic and traffic lights and eliminating parking spaces, like that's too complicated.
Yeah, and I think they would like, I think the city government would like to do something.
Yeah.
Would like to be able to say, hey, we did this, we improved this, mm-hmm. we're making things healthier. I mean, there's a whole lot of pressure on city government to make things better in this area,
yeah.
to make things healthier. But they can't do it if it's too much effort, if it's too much money, if it's...
Like this stencil, that's already the way the law is.
Yeah.
They don't have to change anything.
Anything.
Not just anything. Just add a stencil so that to promote people biking, because the biker, yeah. biker people will see that and like, oh, there's a sort of a bike lane, and people driving will like, oh, yeah, as a reminder, okay, yeah. there's a bike. Yeah.
Share the road.
I'm supposed to.
Share the
yeah,
road.
This guy's supposed to ride here, I guess, because I see a bike symbol on the road.
Yeah.
So John Doe, jackass, redneck,
yeah.
will maybe, like you said, not hit you with his mirror on the way by.
Yeah, because they're trying. Dry.
So anyway, if you're out there and you're presenting something, try to simplify things.
Yeah. Make it as easy on the person you're asking the favor from as possible.
Yeah.
If you make it easy on somebody to help you, then they probably will.
Yeah. It certainly make it easy for them to say yes, for God's sake. Anyway.
That had you totally exasperated earlier, didn't it?
A lot of these meetings do. And it's one of those things, you know, we had this discussion last week in a whole article basically on how Eastern Kentucky sucks. And this whole Appalachian area statistically is the worst place to live in America.
Yeah.
And this is part of the reason even the people who do have a brain can't get their shit together enough to.
Is it a regional thing or is that everywhere?
I don't know.
I haven't been involved with local politics and things like that anywhere else. I know I got so exasperated. Mm-hmm. I used to be on a local kind of charity council and I quit. I just stopped. And another good friend of mine, she just stopped. We just walked away from it because people could not stop fighting with each other. Like for power and control. It's a volunteer group. Okay. You don't need power and control in a volunteer group. You just need to pick something to make it better.
Yeah.
And do it.
Yeah. They think it's Real Housewives of Hazard, Kentucky.
It's ridiculous.
Or whatever.
It's ridiculous.
The drama is just.
Oh yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. I have a real good buddy, and both of us are the jump in, get dirty, do something type. I mean, we're ideal for getting something accomplished. We just walked away because we couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, well. Speaking of walking away, we have some renters that walked away from some stuff from their apartment.
And naughty, naughty us, we knew exactly what it was.
Tell them the story. You're leaving stuff out. I set you up and you jumped right over it.
Oh, I apologize. You have to have patience with me this week because I've been ill. Because
you're drinking the clamshell juice?
I'm drinking the clamshell juice. All right. We went to make sure everything was cleared out of the apartment and found a bag with black latex straps.
Oh, it has all kinds
ball
of stuff.
Gag.
Butt plugs and.
Does it really? And I didn't go through it that well.
Ball gags and handcuffs and, oh, yeah. So I go into this apartment to clean it.
Yeah.
Or not to clean it, but to change
the
locks, really.
Just inspect it, change the locks.
And there's one room that has, like, leftover paint and then some just, you know, a little utility thing.
Uh-huh.
Some of the paint brushes are in, like, garbage bags that are tied and, you know, just a little utility room, basically.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going through all those bags to see, all right, well, what's in this one? Oh, there's paint. All right, what's in this one? Oh, there's a butt plug. Oh, okay. So
Hank is like having me deal with the renters.
It's like, there's a whole bag. It's like a Santa bag. It's like,
it wasn't a garbage bag.
It's like BDS Santa came and left his bag.
Yeah.
We got to get Santa his
bag back.
His bag of dicks back.
The whole bag of dicks.
So I posted this on Facebook and I think on our Twitter. What is the etiquette on that? If you had a rental place, I'd love to hear some feedback what you guys would do.
Yeah.
If you're cleaning it out and you find a bag of toys like that, do you call them and tell them, like, hey, I got your bag of strap-ons and vibrators here. Do you want to come pick it up? Or do you just ignore it and just hope the problem goes away? Or what do you think the etiquette is, Ms. Petra?
Well, I think it kind of depends. If I am huffing. I think it... If you're kind of comfortable dealing with your renter and everything, if you're okay with that, like I just sent him a text and like I'm going to leave it on the doorstep and it's inside and everything, so it won't.
Well, you were afraid to. Well, my instinct at first was to just drop it off at the doorstep.
Well, I was afraid that what if they're bringing company in or something like that, and they go, "What's this?" and they look in it.
Oh, I see. Well, you also
that could be embarrassing.
Well, you also thought maybe you had a couple of different girlfriends.
Yeah,
and you don't want to get girlfriend A's vibrator mixed up with girlfriend B's.
Hell no.
To be like, I don't have a Mr. Pinky. I have a Mr. Greeny. What the fuck? Why do you have a bag of Miss Pinky in here?
Yes.
So you didn't want to get him in trouble that way.
No, I didn't. So I text him, and then girlfriend A text back. So
you texted him.
Yeah.
You texted Will, and Will's girlfriend called you or texted you back?
Yep.
So that's funny.
Yep. And
so
the story is
he must have had a consultation, like, well, what do you think?
See,
just like us. You're trying to figure out the etiquette.
Yeah, exactly. And then I got a text from her that it was like a gag gift, and it's like, sure.
Oh, the old gag gift line. Well, they're young.
Well, and I
would have said that back in the day.
Yeah.
If I had got caught with something, I'd have been embarrassed and I'd have said like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it is kind of embarrassing, but like, holy, you know.
It's a little fun embarrassing, but you did a good job. Didn't you say something in a text back? Like,
yeah, I said, ha, 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 just don't call the cops on us.
That's good. I still don't know if she'll get that from that, but whatever.
Yeah, trust me. I'm not going to go into nitty-gritty details on the podcast. Sorry, but no, I handled it well.
Okay. Well, good deal then. So, crisis averted.
Yes.
They're getting back their bondage gear, and everybody's good.
That shit's expensive, too, by the way, so I would want to.
Hell, yeah, it's expensive.
I'd get over the embarrassment.
Choo-choo. And the deal is they're moving from one place to another.
Yeah.
Like, that we own.
So
that's another thing. If they lived somewhere else, if they were moving into another apartment place, that, you know, totally away from us, we just throw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be easy.
But
they're still renters.
Yeah. So. And I guess we could probably have just pitched it, but I don't know.
Well, I think you handled it very well.
I think I diplomatically handled it. I am stuttering.
Well, maybe because you're tweaking your cheek over there like a chipmunk. What are you doing over there, nerd?
Quit picking on me. Don't pick on me.
Stuffing nuts in your jaw.
No,
what you're doing?
I've got a little place on my face and it's itching and I'm picking at it. So
no.
I'll always pick at something and you always pick on me for it.
And that's how this show works. That's why it's gold. Gold, Petra.
Because you pick on me too much.
Do you have an article over there?
I do.
I'm running through my list here. You leave me floundering here.
Well, you left me. I didn't even have my iPad open.
The blackberries are in season right now. They're expensive as hell this year.
Are they really?
You know, everybody listens to us different places. We have wild blackberries here that grow. They're very good. But, man, $25 a gallon.
$25 a gallon for wild blackberries?
Yeah.
My grandpa used to pick blackberries like crazy.
Man, they're bitches, though, to pick.
They kind of are.
Thorny, and that's a delicacy around here, though. See, that's a good part of being around here.
Yeah.
There's some good, too.
The wild blackberries. You just have to be careful. They have to be rinsed off.
And the wine you make from it, man, it's good.
Yeah. Blackberry preserves.
Blackberry wine, blackberry preserves, blackberry cobbler. My mom used to make the best blackberry cobbler. Holy shit, it was good. Make your tongue slap your brains out, Petra.
Yes, it would. All right. The best things about men who love cats. Hank loves cats.
I love our cat.
You love our cat.
I like cats.
All right. What do you think about men who love cats?
They're awesome.
For some people, Cat-loving males evoke a negative and outdated geeky stereotype.
Oh, please.
Others see cat guys as kind, deep, smart, and hip.
I love our little chairman meow. I found a new thing this week, too. I can pinch her on the back of the neck and then, like shake her by the neck, like sort of shake her, like not violently.
Not violently
not,
shake
not
her,
to hurt
but
her.
She enjoys that.
She loves it.
She's just like,
ugh. Yeah, you just take your head like a bobblehead. Like you pinch the skin on the back of their neck. Mm-hmm. And then kind of shake their head back and forth like a bobblehead. She fucking loves it.
She does. And she'll just, she's so whiny sometimes. Where is she? I feel bad talking about her bad. I'm looking like, oh God, she's going to look at me.
That's
but
funny.
She will act like the most abused cat in the world sometimes. And it's like, you have never been abused.
She is a funny little cat.
She's weird. All right. The new trend celebrates confident men who adore and appreciate their feline friends.
Nice.
For what they are, wonderful, caring little companions.
Exactly. We are tired of being persecuted, Petra, for our cat-loving.
The best things about cat-loving men, they respect moods.
They respect moods?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I guess I
Even
can handle that.
Even the friendliest cats sometimes don't feel very amiable. Cat guys understand how quickly the tables can turn during a belly rub bonding session and are cool with a sudden don't touch me attitude.
Or have I just get up and run around the house like crazy up and down the stairs chasing yeah. imaginary ghost.
She does that a lot
yeah.
anymore. I don't know what her deal is. It's funny. Oh, well. They're responsible.
Responsible?
Yeah.
These are cat guys.
Cat guys, yeah. Although some people believe that cats are easy to care for, cat men know that while a cat may not need to be walked or let out several times a day, felines need attention, companionship, and love.
Aww.
Yay.
It's true.
They appreciate multidimensional personalities. Cats are.
I can appreciate that.
Cats are sweet, standoffish, lazy, active, boring, funny, and so much more all rolled into one.
You got cats, you got a good time.
Yeah. They have a sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor if you own a cat.
I guess. That's a good one. So far, I'd say these all describe me pretty well.
Yeah, men who love cats appreciate the funny things cats do, even if the cat doesn't mean to be funny.
Cats never mean to be funny. They want to be too dignified.
They giggle at the stalking and pouncing on a visible prey. They chuckle at the 4 a.m. wake-up calls. They get a kick out of the cat lounging on the morning newspaper or keyboard or anything else that's taking dad's attention away from kitty. Guys with a good sense of humor are always more fun to be around, especially if they have a cat on their lap.
Cats are nice.
Yeah.
They're cute. Especially our little chairman meow. Our chairman meow looks like Church. Have you ever seen Pet Sematary Church?
Yeah.
Gray cat. Just solid gray kitty.
Yes. Actually, I think I have used her picture as profile picture for Pinterest and put it out several times.
Oh, nice.
Because I got a good picture of her. But bottom line, a cat guy is a guy who loves animals, and what's not to love about that?
Well, that's true. We certainly enjoyed the interaction with Chairman Meow and Mrs. Wiggles when she was alive. They were fun.
Oh, my God. They were hilarious. I think
we just had to put our dog down a few months ago, Mrs. Wiggles. They would love to just – she would love to just bat the dog in a half-fun way and a half-aggravated way. But
half-grouchy.
Kind of grouchy, but our cat's decalled. So when she, when she stands up on her hind legs and – hits a dog on the side of the face. The dog just thought that was the funniest thing.
The greatest thing in the world.
Tail would start wagging like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Do it again.
And it would be different if the dog was always aggravating the cat. No, the cat would go lay in the dog's bed and then defend the bed from the dog.
Yeah,
so.
They'd move around. Yeah. So that was fun.
So they had their own. Yeah. I feel bad too sometimes. I think Chairman Meow gets a little lonely.
Well, that's all right. She has us.
She does. She does. She gets lots of loving from us.
I want to talk about real quick the Planet of the Apes review.
Yes. Yes.
Fairly quickly.
Not the best movie I've ever watched.
Yeah, so-so.
It was so-so. It had some good effects.
I think we hit it on the way back from it. They just tried to make it a little too hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Like, they really struggled to make this movie sort of a happy ending or at least a neutral ending when the whole point
of the original
thing was that things don't end hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Like, it's that whole formula of, again, of Hollywood, of God forbid they make something where it doesn't end just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my issue with it.
Well, Hollywood has, I guess, two branches. You've either got the movies where they kill off the bad guy or the good guy, the protagonist, in the most gut-wrenching, horrible way possible, City of Angels. Or
I'd say those are rare.
They're rare. They're rare. But, like, that one scarred me. Okay. I will never watch that movie again.
Okay.
Or they try so hard to make that happy ending happen.
Right.
That at the end, you're left disappointed. You're just kind of like, huh, there was something wrong about that. And that's kind of the how we left that movie.
Right. And I don't know how to, I was thinking about this. There's no really way to talk about it without spoiling anything, I don't guess. But we've said it all kind of ends up hunky-dory, so you sort of know.
Yeah.
But, like, I had a good idea how it should have ended. This is my own how it should have ended kind of
okay,
thing.
How should it have ended?
All right, so this might be a spoiler, so you need to hit your little 30-second button there.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Skip past this if you plan on watching it.
I mean, you know it's a war between the apes and the humans. People know that, and they know whatever.
They've shown that in the previous.
Right. Well, and you know it's going to end halfway hunky-dory. We've already sort of told you that, and you sort of know it anyway. That's why we're telling you this. It's don't expect some crazy ending.
Shocking ending. Yeah.
So
you won't be disappointed.
At the end of this, the humans are in colonies, and they make contact with other humans in other colonies via like a short band radio. And it kind of ends like that. Or it doesn't really end like that, but it ends with basically the apes and the humans
are going to go to war.
They're going to go to war, but at this point, it's sort of, they're not at war. It's just kind of a neutral thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, it should have ended with the apes totally taken over.
Yeah.
Is what it should have ended. And at the end, where they make contact with the other colonies, according to the movie, that all these other colonies are bringing their troops to help them with the apes. And that's where this war is going to get started.
Yes.
Well, it would have been a perfect ending right there to have somehow these colonies, instead of getting a hold of other colonies, they think they're calling other people because it's shortwave radio.
Yeah.
And whoever answers them back, they don't know.
Yeah.
It should have been apes, and they should have ended that movie with all these people they think are
coming to
National
rescue,
Guard coming to rescue them, and it's all apes driving.
With their machine guns and driving vehicles. That would be perfect. It really would be.
That's how it should have. So, Hollywood, you need to come to me. I'm copywriting that.
That idea?
Hillbilly Nerd Talk. Copyright. Write that down. 0 to 10, how much?
6 at the top. And that's because it had good 3D.
I'd say a 6 out of 10 also. Didn't it get a ton of good stuff on Flixster?
I don't know. Rotten Tomatoes, maybe.
I thought on our little Flixster app, it had like 93% good.
Did it?
I don't know. It was certainly a lot, but more than I thought.
Jeez, no.
I didn't
pay that much attention to it.
No. It's not that great, guys.
Not that great. It's okay if you have a rainy weekend, go watch it. But if not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, especially.
And I need to apologize to Hank right here because I keep interrupting every sentence that I keep interrupting you on this podcast. Like, you start to say something and then I just spit it out before you even get to it.
No, I don't know.
My apologies.
Well, stop it.
I'm trying.
I don't even notice. There's a guy got locked up in kind of close to us, actually. Corbin, Kentucky.
All right. What'd he do?
I like it when Kentucky makes national news.
You love it when Kentucky makes national news, especially for crappy stuff.
Well, apparently, this drunkard guy got picked up for shoplifting some beer down at the old beer station.
That's always a good idea.
So while he's in jail, this 29-year-old apparently somehow kept his cell phone in his pocket while he was getting arrested. Who knows? I don't know. Somehow he had his cell phone in the cell with him, which, of course, I'm sure these policemen didn't exactly do. They don't block that either because it probably makes them look bad.
It does. How did he get his cell phone? Yeah.
So Anyway, so he's in his jail cell, locked up from shoplifting his beer.
Uh-huh.
So he makes a prank phone call to Domino's and orders 5 pizzas to be delivered to the police station in the name of this officer Harp, who's apparently the one who arrested him. So they show up with 5 pizzas for Mr. Harp at the police station.
Oh, no.
And apparently Mr. Harp was not amused.
He is not amused.
They tracked the cell phone call. They figured out it was his cell. That's how they figured out.
Probably means they dialed the cell phone number back and it started ringing in the cell. And they were like, motherfucker.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. While Michael Harp was in process of getting booked at the police station, his name was Harp.
Okay.
5 boxes of Domino's pizzas were delivered to Officer Wilson. Officer Wilson's the one who was not amused.
Okay. Yeah. Get that straight. That's funny.
The police say they tracked the cell phone calls. Quote, I'm not guilty on this one, Harp told media. Like, what media would be in Corbin, Kentucky covering this?
Exactly, yeah.
Harp now faces additional identity/deception/impersonation of an officer charges.
Oh, bullshit.
Under Kentucky law, pretending to be a police officer is a felony. Like, are you kidding? Like, come on. That is some officers that's wound a little too damn
tight.
That is.
That should never have made the media, okay? Because that's just silly.
Yeah, really. That's a good point, too.
That is somebody who really desperately needed something to report.
And maybe this guy has been locked up numerous times. Maybe he spits on police officers when he walks by. There may be
a lot of bad blood there, but still.
Unless it is something like that. If this is just a...
That's a waste of ink.
A random guy that ordered these pizzas. Come on. That's like the old Spicoli thing what's that movie? Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You know,
there's a little funny scene in the movie where he's a high school kid and he orders pizza delivered to his history class. And he just starts eating pizza in class and it's a big scene. It's a big, kind of a classic scene of a movie. You haven't seen it?
No.
You have to see it sometime.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's at least reminiscent of that.
Okay.
And it's a comedy thing. And I don't know. It just, don't you think it's a little too...
Oh, it's too far for something that...
For felony charges?
Yeah. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
You know what they should have done?
That is actually that's such a waste. One is a waste of ink to report that. Two, it is a waste of taxpayer dollars to prosecute something like that. That's ridiculous. And I see the point of making an example of somebody so other people don't do something like that. But then just don't print it. Don't don't make such a big deal out of it.
I guess. It just seems like, are we just all so uptight that I... This seems like one of those things where, and I guess it's just a day and age and whatever, but don't you feel like if you were the sheriff, what I would like to have done if I was a sheriff?
I would have made him pay for the pizzas and then me and all my officers would have eaten it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say.
It would never have made the news. It would never have been a big deal. I would have eaten it in front of him. I would have locked him in a cell and eaten it in front of him.
Me
and
too.
Then I would have lost all of his shit for 3 days. So, like, he wouldn't get his call for a lawyer or something like that. I mean, there's ways to handle that.
I think I'd
probably be a...
It depends upon this guy, but I think I would give him a piece of pizza. And like you said, everybody else, there's 5 pizzas there. I'd somehow, where's your credit card? You're going to pay for them. Mm-hmm. Make him pay for them. And mm-hmm. what you said, and everybody eats pizza.
Exactly. Exactly. There are ways to handle things like that.
That's what Andy Griffith would have done, damn it.
I think we have become so sue happy, so charge them with this happy.
I know, and police officers get a lot of shit. I get it, but I don't know. We're in the same situation here. I think a little humor would have been appropriate here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I want to end this on one final little article here. It's what a short one. There's a new study out in cognitive science this month.
Okay.
Religious children are more likely to believe fantasy than non-religious children.
Okay.
I'll go into it a little bit. The recent study published in Cognitive Science this month reveals an interesting divide between children raised in secular homes and children raised in religious homes. The article titled, quote, Judgments About Facts, About Fact and Fiction by Children from Religious and Non-Religious Backgrounds, end quotes.
Okay.
Finds a correlation between religious upbringing and acceptance of impossible claims.
Okay.
Here's some excerpts. Children who went to church or enrolled in a parochial, is that how you said you pronounce
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
A religious school, basically. Or both, judge the protagonist in religious stories to be a real person. All right. So, in other words, they think, you know.
That's how they were raised. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Moses really parted the sea and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, yeah, it's how they're raised, sure. Whereas secular children with no such exposure to religion
mm-hmm.
judge the protagonist in religious story to be fictional.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. Children's upbringings are also related to their judgment about protagonists in fantasy stories and included ordinarily impossible events, whether brought about by magic or without reference to magic. Secular children were more likely than religious children to judge the protagonist in such fantastical stories to be fictional.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense. That's a tough sentence.
That is. Okay. So basically what you're saying is children who were raised with a religious upbringing can't really discern between fiction and fantasy. Like
right.
they can get wrapped up in the Harry Potter story.
They think Harry Potter's real.
Yeah.
Or that's possible that somebody could be to do that.
Yeah.
Because they think like Moses did that.
Yeah.
Well, they have been
raised not to question, not to use judgment.
Yeah. Or Methuselah or whoever, these people in the Bible live to be 800 years old and whatever. And they believe people can live inside the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
So they think, again.
I had an experience with that with one real child in my family, and she was raised in a religious upbringing, and she got so wrapped up in the Harry Potter books that she really thought that she could become a wizard.
Dang.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that was somebody who was about 14, 15 years old. I mean, that's somebody who should know the difference between fantasy and fiction.
The results suggest that exposure to religious ideas has a powerful impact on children's differentiation between reality and fiction, not just for religious stories, but also for fantastical stories.
Wow. So,
yeah, and I can see that. How these kids, maybe they grow out of it to a point, I hope, but I don't know. At some point, you probably retain some of that.
I would think so. It depends on, I think, your base personality. If you tend to be, and I'm not saying that everybody who believes something spiritual is gullible, but if your base personality is that you're gullible and you're likely to believe what you hear, what anybody tells you from a position of authority, then if you are brought up not questioning authority, I think that just compounds on itself. Okay. You're never going to think outside of the box. But if you are someone who questions authority, even if you are raised in a religious home, I'm talking about myself here, then eventually, you know, you are going to keep questioning until, you know, you come up with something that you're satisfied with.
Here's a little part of it too. Wonder why this would be. While both religious children and non-religious children did a good job in the study of correctly identifying fictional characters such as Snow White, religious children had a more difficult time than the non-religious children correctly identifying stories with talking animals or supernatural beings, as in giants and fairies, as being fictional. So they could pick out Snow White's fictional, but they think giants and fairies. Oh, yeah, that's possible. Sure, there's giants.
Well, there were giants in the
That's right.
in the Bible. Okay.
Sure.
And you had talking animals. You had snakes that talked. You had burning bushes that talked. So I can totally understand why that would be.
And Snow White is
Disney. Okay?
Right. And it's a cartoon. You know, you tell them a story about something. They think, well, yeah, I guess that's possible. Like you said, there's talking snakes. Why the hell couldn't there be a giant?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, there really were giants in the Old Testament. So.
Right. I mean, that's what they say. I don't believe it, but whatever. I mean, a giant to them might have been somebody 7 feet tall.
True, but to them, yeah. And we've watched some great shows on archaeology where they lay out like a mammoth skeleton.
Yeah.
And if you lay it out the right way, it freaking looks like
a human skull in a way.
Yeah,
or some sort of a
It looks like
mammal.
A giant. It looks like a giant.
Yeah.
So if they found fossils,
sure.
I mean, they wouldn't think, oh, this is prehistoric. They would think that was 10 years ago.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm seeing what else is on here. That's the main one.
Yeah.
But
and
I mean, that's the gist of it.
If you have that taught to you as truth, your reality, it becomes hard to judge.
Absolutely.
And you're told to ignore your own judgment.
This guy at the end, and this is somebody commenting on it. I think this may be a repost, but it says, I would suspect that religious instruction actually hinders children from reaching their intellectual potential. In this case, we can say that teaching our children religious stories is not responsible parenting. Wow, that's tough.
That's tough.
That's a tough leap. That's a tough leap there.
Yeah, it is.
But certainly, they bring up a point. I mean, maybe you grow out of it. Maybe there's no harm in if you're a kid believing Santa Claus is real for an extra 2 or 3 years longer than... Because these people, I'll bet you these kids will be more likely to do that. They said they believe more like in fairies and giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm quite sure the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, I bet they believe that.
Way longer. Well, all right. I had two brothers that were a year and a half apart. And one of them was Mr. Follow the Rules, and he absolutely believed in Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all that for way longer than baby brother. And baby brother was the one that built a trap to catch the tooth fairy.
That's awesome.
No shit. He built a trap to catch the tooth fairy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he was always thinking outside the box and doing, you know, crazy shit.
Your parents should have put like a squirrel in there or something and be like, oh, look, it's shape-shifted. Like, they do that. That's been awesome. So anyway, but I just thought it was an interesting story because we bring that up all the time. And however you believe, I suppose, around where we're at, people
think it's child abuse if you don't take your children to church.
Well, and literally, like, I think other places are more likely to say, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm willing to say that some of these stories may be fables or stories to teach a lesson, but I don't literally think I don't literally think somebody lived inside the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
All right. But around here, people literally believe that.
Yes.
They
yes.
believe the Bible. Their logic is so convoluted and
it's
so weird.
It's double speak. It really is.
It is double speak.
Or double think. Yeah.
Double speak, double think. It's double think for sure. Getting back to that 1984.
Let's stay with that for just a little bit. Because I have a friend who I thought this was brilliant. She allowed her little girl to go to church with grandma and grandpa. But the deal was, as soon as her little girl came home talking about hell, that was done. You know, because she had been raised in a religious church and, you know, preached fire and brimstone and all this kind of stuff for years and was kind of burnt out on it. And I was like, okay. And I'm all right with, you know, going and learning, you know, some of the little kid stories about, you know, Jesus and good things. I mean, I think you need to learn how to share and, you know, don't punch somebody, don't hit. I mean, there's a lot of really good things that come out of that you know, Sunday school education and everything. It's good socialization for small children. But once you really start sitting through a church service where confess your sins or you're going to hell, then it becomes, I think, somewhat damaging unless you are just completely brainwashed into that. So I wouldn't want to be, and I wouldn't want a child to be.
I more think the whole thing is damaging. And like, you can teach kids not to punch people and not to do this without teaching them that there was talking snakes and all this other fanciful stuff.
I think this is the religion of the land. And if children are not taught some of these stories, then they are missing a little bit of their heritage.
Maybe. I guess it depends on how you would teach them. I mean, we don't have kids, so yeah. It's easy for us to say.
Yeah.
We'd probably conform to some point.
Yeah.
But I would certainly, I just don't know, though. I don't know if I would or not. My parents never took me to church. We got along just fine.
Yeah. Well, I was there.
Extremely rarely.
If the door was open, I was there. So.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I mean, we never went. I think when I was super, super young, I can remember my mom bringing me to school maybe once. And I'm talking barely memory. This must have been 3 or 4 years old or five, of my earliest memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only remember going like once. And I almost feel then, because of that, either she was just had been pressured into it or somebody, because I just got that impression that, I don't know. So we only went once.
All right.
And then I didn't go again until I dated this girl in high school, and she started going. And then, you know, when you date somebody,
you have to go. You have to have the likes that they like. You have to have.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but this article and the stuff about religion just seems, like you said, the double think thing drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And here's how it works around our area. These people will absolutely, every one of them, 90% of the people around here that's Christian will say that they take the Bible literally. Like I keep saying, talking snakes, living inside of a whale, bringing people back from the dead, all these crazy miracles that supposedly happen. They believe it literally, the Bible literally.
Yeah.
All right. So then when you say something like, well, if you believe the Bible literally, then, then Jesus turned water to wine according to the Bible. So why don't you believe in drinking wine? Well, now that was grape juice. That wasn't really wine.
Yeah.
And it drives me insane. I want to punch my hand through their mouth and let it come out the back of their head like a horror movie when that happens.
Hank means that. Hank means that.
Because it's so infuriating. You can't logic with somebody. And that is right out of 1984 doublethink.
Yeah.
That's making yourself believe two contradictory things that make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
None. You can also use that logic. Okay, well, what about stoning somebody to death then if they adulterer? Or, well, no, I don't guess we should do that. I'm like, what's in the Bible?
It's literal. Yeah.
You said literally. What about taking up snakes? There's some churches do that. Most don't.
Yeah, most don't.
But they say it in the Bible. So if you've got the spirit, you can take it up.
Like, yep.
Well, you know, and then they'll just come up with this barrage of dumbass logic that you just can't argue.
Absolutely.
They'd all be locked in my stupid jail, every one of them.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so anti-religious, frankly. If I can meet religious people other places that maybe would be more logical.
Yeah, more
like, okay, yeah, I think there was probably this dude Jesus, and I think he was a good guy and teach this, and
yeah,
you know. But if you tell me literally you believe some of this stuff, I'm lost. There's just no way.
Well, yeah, and it's hard to respect someone who is so brainwashed.
Yeah.
And I try, I mean, I realize that some of these people, this is how they get through their day, okay? Their lives fucking suck.
That's how they get through life.
Yeah, okay? They have a manual labor job. They are in a marriage that sucks. You know, they're raising kids. They're stuck in this life. And the only thing that they have is like this afterlife, okay? This is, and this religion, this faith, this is the only thing that gets them, you know, through the day, back up, you know, back through the next day.
Right.
And it's really a shame, but I don't know if they could get through their life or change their life if they change their views. So it's a crutch.
I wish they could just change some of them. Like a big thing, it's okay when these religious people have their own religion, stick to themselves, whatever. But the problem is,
they try to force those views on everyone else.
Yes, they're making laws. They make laws that affect all of us, like this gay marriage thing. You know, that's totally a religious reason why that's not legal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they find it in the Bible someplace. Like I said, they conveniently ignore the part about eating shrimp or having tattoos or wearing wool clothes or eating pork or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
All that bullshit that's in the Bible. And if you take it literally,
you shouldn't
be doing any of that.
Yeah.
Conveniently, now you find a passage about being gay that you interpret as, and then all of a sudden you pick that little gem out and you find that group of people too.
And I wish anybody would write to us, let us know if there's some place in the New Testament, I'm making a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. If there's some place in the New Testament that's not written by Paul, then that is against homosexuality, then I would like for that to be pointed out. Paul hated everybody, the Apostle Paul. Mm. He absolutely hated women, hated gays, hated everybody. He was the most,
he was an old grouchy, grouchy asshole.
Yeah.
Well, and during that time, just like now, I mean, whether it's written or not, I'm sure 99% of the population during the time the Bible was written, during that 1500 years.
Yeah.
They were probably very homophobic and anti-gay, I'm sure. Because they were different than you. So, but that still didn't make it right. They had slaves back then, too. That didn't make it right.
They had slaves, and it was a big difference in cultures because the Greeks embraced a relationship between older men and younger men where, the older man was not just a lover but also a mentor in a whole lot of ways. And they wanted to keep the cultures different and separated. And, and the fastest way to spread a religion is by growing it through birth and everything. So homosexuality is taking something, it's dampening that. Okay. You don't get the male, female, birth of children going on. And the Christian church did that for years. The Catholic church, outlawed birth control.
Right. Well,
and that's a doctrine. It's not really something that's,
And that's a basic, I guess, could be the root of it. But in general, people are just assholes about that. I don't know. Yeah. Somebody who's different in any society.
Yeah.
If you go against the grain, most of the time you're the one that somebody's going to pick on.
Yeah.
Or bully or whatever. And if you're the homosexual in any society that I know of, you're probably in the minority.
Yeah.
And during that time period, you were just singled out, picked on, whatever.
Yeah.
So, whether the Bible says it or not, doesn't mean it right at all.
Yeah.
First of all. Yeah. So getting back to what we're saying. Yeah. Some of this religious stuff that they're teaching kids may end up hurting us all in the long run.
Well, yeah, because we're falling behind in the world in science and math because we're focusing too much on fiction and fantasy. In my opinion.
Well, right. You think our religious kids who think there's fairies and giants walking around
not exactly excelling on their SATs.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. When they are not the scientists discovering new things because, what? The Earth is... No, the Earth's only 3,000 years old. What are you talking about? I can't...
Now, from
Brain overload. Do not compute.
Yeah, all right. From a purely practical standpoint, that it's really fucking our country up.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, because these things start to break down when you believe the Bible literally and that it's only, 3,000 or 4,000 years old, whatever they think.
6,000 years old.
6,000 years old. Yeah, then you start studying a class, any class of science.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That proves the Earth is obviously billions of years old. That's going to inhibit your learning.
The guy who works for me actually teaches a lab class and just takes care of the lab part of it. And the kids, these are college kids. Okay. They are in college, but they're generally like science education majors. So they're people who can't really study science. So they're going to teach it in America. This is genius. And his kids, most of them just come in bitching their heads off about the lecture because they're talking about evolution or they're talking about, you know, something like that. He can't teach them anything. They are so
brainwashed.
Exactly. That he can't even get them to pay attention for a 2-hour lab.
Right. It's just like that debate with Bill Nye, the science guy, and that religious guy.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, with overwhelming evidence that anybody logically can see.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, he even pointed out there's a fucking tree that's 6,000 years old.
Yeah.
They found a tree that is older than what he's claiming the earth is. Like, that's just one out of a million things that he pointed out to this dumbass. And all they can do is like, well, nope, that can't be true. That tree you're talking about, I don't know how you dated it, but it can't be true because the Bible says this. That's all that guy could ever say.
That's his entire argument.
Yeah, that's all the argument is. So anyhow.
Yeah.
So that's all on that.
Yeah, you can't argue religion.
And like
I
said,
you cannot argue with religion. It's illogical.
And I've been reading 1984. And I love rereading that book every so often.
Yeah.
There's parts of it that didn't happen, but I'm telling you, our listener base is probably pretty intelligent. If you've not read that book, I would recommend anybody. The things this guy in 1946, when it was written, the things he foresaw.
Our society going towards and.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a totalitarian society yet.
It would be if the religious right got control.
It would be. Yeah. But things like doublethink, like that's exactly what I'm describing with this religious thing.
Yeah.
Doublethink in this book is how they teach you to basically you can hold two different ideas that are completely contradictory to each other.
Yeah.
And 100% believe them both. And when I remember reading that in high school thinking, this is the dumbest damn book. What do you mean? That is impossible. That is dumb as it can be. And now that I'm adult and the examples we just brought up, the religious examples or things like a good one, they do that book all the time. It's like, well, we're at peace. We're always at peace. And they're like, well, no, we're at war. We're always at war. And it's both. People believe both.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're a peaceful society. And at the same time, no. That we have troops and we are constantly at war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is a perfect example of modern day doublethink.
It is.
You ask most people in our country right now, do you think Americans are we for peace or are we peaceful?
We're for peace. We're the world police. Yeah. We try to keep the peace everywhere.
We're
humanitarians.
Yeah, we're a peaceful nation.
Yeah,
trying to. Yeah, and then right, we're not. So there's just all kinds of that stuff in this book.
Yeah,
I read you that passage the other day about the.
Read Hank's copy of that book because it is so underlined worn.
You know, and it's from high school. Some of that was from high school underlined, and like it says foreshadowing on the side and things like that. But now as I'm adult, I'm seeing it's kind of interesting because now I'm underlining other parts that I see now as an adult.
Yeah.
That when I was in high school, I didn't pay attention to or I just thought that was stupid.
You read that book over and over again like I read Ender's Game over and over again.
And in a way, I don't want to read it too much, every 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it can be depressing.
It can be, because you don't want...
I mean, society, and I know the whole Big Brother's watching you, that's a cliche forever, but for this guy in 1946 to envision that every house would have some monitor, some device where... people could watch you and you could watch them and basically people could watch you and make sure you stay in line.
That's your webcam.
That is that webcam looking at me right now on this screen. And the TSA, absolutely, these laws have been passed where they have and absolutely can look at that and see what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And anybody that doesn't believe that is naive as shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah.
The thing they
privacy and our security and our rights, like our basic human rights, have gone to crap. I mean,
the thing that
really
they
have.
Didn't, the thing that he didn't envision, he thought basically, I guess, he was envisioning a world like if Hitler had won.
Yeah.
Like if there was a totalitarian government, this is how they would keep people in line.
Uh-huh.
He, and so that part of it is, it didn't come true. But the part that, that is how a government that's kind of a democracy like we are, mm-hmm. like we're not really democracy at this point.
No.
We're kind
no,
of
not
a,
when.
We're kind of a hybrid. We're kind of communist, sort of communist, socialist democracy all wrapped up in one, really.
Yeah,
we're really
yeah.
not just democracy.
Well,
but
the,
anyway,
the two political parties are exactly
right.
the same.
But anyway, how we voluntarily let ourselves be monitored.
Yeah.
That's the thing he didn't foresee was if there was a society in a democracy, how would you get people, how would you monitor people in a democracy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just voluntary. We basically yeah. volunteer it. We buy our phone and we've let these laws get passed,
yeah.
like that National Defense Authorization Act. That gives yeah. them permission to record everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Wrap your head around that. Everything we're speaking.
Well, and kids
everything.
Nowadays, and this always just boggles my mind. I've had this discussion at work, and my youngest employee just has always grown up with September 11th, and they're like, well, I'm not a terrorist, so they can monitor what I do on the internet.
You know, I have older people say that too, and I have to say, at first, I probably would have said that too. I'm ashamed to say it, but there was a time I probably would have been, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what does it hurt? I mean, now I understand the silliness of that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
but at the time, that's all I would have thought too. I trusted our government more, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now I just know how this can be used against somebody.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt
Absolutely.
It could be used against somebody. When somebody's running for office, somebody wants to grab control and they don't want somebody else to have control.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell me that this stuff couldn't fall into the wrong hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, I'm not foolish enough to think, even if you never did anything wrong, if you were the perfect model citizen, but your views were slightly different than those in power. I mean, I'm quite sure that they could come up very quickly with some internet searches and some proof, some, you know.
Oh, for sure.
It could be manufactured.
Anybody's life under a microscope could be made to look horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, conveniently, you know, not even misquoting, but taking things out of context.
Absolutely.
Things, or even things, like you were saying, things that are maybe not even illegal. What if you're having an affair on your wife or something?
Yeah,
that's not illegal.
And it's really funny the way things like that can be spun, too.
Sure.
I mean,
the National Defense Authorization Act, when that thing went through and I started hearing about that, like, that is nutso. The
yeah.
fact that they can detain even U.S. citizens,
yeah.
they can detain anybody and detain them indefinitely without a trial. It's scary as shit.
Isn't due process a part of the Bill of Rights?
Well, apparently with this, it's went around it.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's challenged this all the way to the Supreme Court yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've actually detained.
We're too busy running shit like Arrow through the Supreme
right.
Court
yeah.
to actually, like, anything important.
And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody's been detained under that law yet. That will be the test.
Yeah.
Is when they come and get you, which is another yeah. thing right out in 1984, by the way. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
But there are people being detained. Like
but the,
that
I
guy.
I don't know if they're American citizens.
Well, I think the one guy, and it's a shame we kind of forget about this guy. I think it's the guy that leaked the stuff to the WikiLeaks thing.
Uh-huh.
The soldier.
Is he?
The soldier himself.
The soldier himself, is he being killed?
The last I heard, and this was 2 or 3 years ago, right, that this
uh-huh.
was leaked. Like, the last I heard, this guy was, and again, this is just from other podcasts, so I don't know specifically
yeah.
what they're quoting.
Yeah.
But, well, it's on the Joe Rogan show, and he usually uses real articles.
Real, yeah.
But anyway, he says this guy has been in solitary confinement in Guantanamo Bay for since it happened, for 2 or 3 years.
Holy crap.
Because he went on a whole thing about, like, imagine how crazy this guy is. Solitary confinement for 3 straight years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Human,
without
the human
a trial,
mind can't really
again,
live like
and this,
that.
And this is an American soldier, again, without a trial.
He was doing what he thought was patriotic and right.
No matter what it was, the dude deserves a trial. I don't care if he was smuggling plutonium to Afghanistan Taliban members. He deserves a trial.
A trial, yeah.
That's the thing I don't understand. Is
and why people aren't picketing over that is
I see
kind
people,
of shocking.
I talk to people any time this comes up, and it's the same people like, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what does it matter? Uh-huh. When I bring this up, like, well, I don't think we should try them. Well, I don't want to try these terrorists. I'm sick of trying people. Let's just shoot them. Like, they don't understand at all.
That you could be the next one in line to be shot.
Yeah. They just so blindly have faith in their government. And it's an older person thing more than younger. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. You said the younger. Maybe it's only us middle-aged people. But
it might be.
But,
might be.
But certainly older people, again, even faced with overwhelming evidence of all this stuff, they will still trust their government. I've had this.
That's nuts.
In a weird way, and I tell you, the discussion I keep having with these guys, it's a friendly discussion. Some of my customers, I ask them, okay, if you, we'll get into talking something about. First of all, you can always get them to talk about how bad they hate Obama and how the country's going.
Yeah,
and
it's
okay,
going to hell because
and
of
you can
Obama.
Say, okay, well, what about all these foreign wars? Oh, yeah, this is stupid. We need to get out of these countries. It's all for oil. I'm like, yeah, I think it's all for oil too. It's a bunch of bull, isn't it? Yeah, it's all blah blah blah. So I'm like, so, okay, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If there was a draft today and your grandson was going to be drafted and he asked you, you know, Grandpa, can you give me advice? Should I run to Canada or should I stay and get drafted? What would you tell him? I'm telling you, 90% of the people around here will say, I think you should get drafted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just said all this is over war. It's all bullshit. He's like, well, I just can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine not serving your country. I'm like, but you're not serving your country. You just said you're working for Exxon or for BP. Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell them not to do that.
Holy cow.
Now, when I ask that same question to say 30, 40 year olds, I'd say 80% of them say, I would tell my kid to get the hell out of Dodge, go to Canada, go to Mexico. Yeah. Don't die over a barrel of oil.
Yeah.
Or over some natural resource.
Well, maybe things will change in the next 20 years when this older generation that votes isn't. But we just don't have anything to vote for right now. We have nothing to vote for. No. Oprah single-handedly put our president in office.
Yeah, we're not crazy about him either.
No.
I mean, but God, around here, it is militant. Don't like him.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, we're to the point we don't – this, I guess, National Defense Authorization Act. That's an Obama thing, which I hate.
Yeah.
But, my goodness, the level around here, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. The hatred, the seething venom is actually terrifying. Actually, it's terrifying.
It's kind of kooky.
Yeah.
It really is kooky. This whole area is – it's in a time warp or something. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an alternate reality.
Vice TV needs to come here. They could spin out. They could have 5-10 different shows easy.
Just in about Appalachia.
About Appalachia, Eastern Kentucky.
Just how.
You could do one on poverty, one on racism, one on how they hate Obama. Then you could do some good ones. How they make great wine. How the wild blackberry are tasting delicious right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the moonshiners. We have great stuff too, but man, this is Kookieville sometimes. I'm telling you, this is Hemlock Grove. This is our Hemlock Grove.
It is.
I'm telling you.
But damn it, I want to change into a werewolf or something. Like, there should be something positive for living here. I want some superpowers.
Petra, I got to give a plug to one of our pod friends.
Who are we plugging?
You know who it is.
Oh, the Knerds.
You wanted to say that so bad.
I did. I wanted to say that so bad.
I'm sorry, guys, for pronouncing your podcast wrong last episode.
It's Knights with a K.
Well, it's a play on Knights.
Yeah.
It's Nerds Around the Table.
Yeah.
They're nice guys. They seem like nice guys.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. But and we do apologize for butchering the name there.
They had a good discussion the other day about what makes a sport a sport, which is good. I was listening to that.
What makes a sport a sport?
Well, there's a lot of debate about it. You can debate. They debated it for 30 minutes. But in general, most people sort of think a sport, and I actually want to throw my two cents in too. Like, some of the stuff they were talking about, I think in general, we have sports.
Uh-huh.
We need a category. We have sports.
Yes.
And then you've got competition things. Things that are competition, things that are sports.
Okay.
You play checkers, that's a competition.
Yes.
All right. You got an opponent, so yes. You got competition.
Yes, absolutely.
Sports, I think, needs to be more like the physical, traditional.
Athletics.
Yes, something to do with athletic. Or you can maybe just say, maybe you could subcategorize it into, say, athletic sports, non-athletic sports. You can maybe
academic
do that.
Academic sports.
There we go. See, I would think that's more of a competition. I think we should just stick with sports and competition.
Okay.
So that's my that's my 2 cents on it. Somebody had some good stuff, like they were saying, which is true. There's some stuff, like to be a sport, there has to be an opponent who's trying to prevent you from doing something physically. So they were saying, like, it can't just, not just physical, like they were saying, bowling.
Uh-huh.
Like, they wouldn't say that's a sport, even though it's physical, because there's not another person trying to stop you. Like football, somebody's trying to tackle you. Or baseball, mm-hmm. an opponent's trying to catch the ball that you're hitting. So
I think ESPN just needs to decide it.
It just gets tough.
If ESPN broadcasts it, it's a sport. So that in that way, golf is a sport.
So they get to decide. They're the all end all authority.
Yep.
I got you.
Do the thing. Win the point.
I like my sports and competition. You got sports and you got competition.
I've already poked a hole in that, though.
No, you haven't. I'm using double think. I believe it. So anyway, nerds around the table. Good guys.
Yes, definitely.
And
we like guys.
And I would like to ask a favor of our listeners. Go to iTunes and write us a review and give us 5 stars.
Please.
Pretty please with sugar on top. If you give us any less than 5 stars, we'll hunt you down and kill you like a dog.
Hank.
Feed you to the pigs.
Hank.
All right. We won't feed you the pigs. But it'd be nice.
Yes. Well, why don't you just say pretty please with sugar
pretty
on top?
Pretty please with sugar on top so we don't have to feed you to the pigs. Good enough.
I'm giving him the stink eye.
So anyway, we are on iTunes. Subscribe through there. Leave us a review. That would be great.
That would
you
be
can
awesome
also find us on Twitter. I'm at HillbillyNerd1. And you can also find me on Facebook. That's where I'm most active lately. Hank Yates, Yates.
And I am on Pinterest.
Yes. And we have an active Pinterest board, too.
Yes, I leave all the good stuff on the Hillbilly Nerd Talk board.
Yes, it's fine. And is that all our main thing, our website. Then you can get to all these places.
Yeah, hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Yes. So, tune in, listen, find some friends, share a post once in a while, share
yes,
a tweet.
Please. And we'll be back next week.
You know, and to brag on ourselves a little bit, you know, last episode was our most downloaded episode ever.
Awesome.
So some of these listeners
have told somebody about us.
That's right. So now the virus is starting.
Oh, no.
The virus is taking hold.
It is. The infection.
Yes, that's right. So you guys have a good week and we'll see you next week.